Jeremiah chapter 18. I wanted to sing that song tonight, more like my Savior, because I want to look at Jeremiah 18, this great passage that the Lord reveals to Israel about his relationship with them in reference to being the potter and they being the clay. And certainly we want the Lord to mold us into what he wants us to be, and certainly it ought to be our desire to be more like the Savior each and every day, the potter and the clay. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it, pluck up, and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. The potter and the clay. This is a great passage because it does deal with God speaking to Israel through the prophet Jeremiah about their unwillingness to obey his commands and follow his statutes. And certainly it was God who formed Israel, created Israel. They had an obligation to live for their God. And God is going to teach a very valuable lesson through the prophet Jeremiah. And he wants them to learn the lesson that, listen, you do well, and I can bless you and reward you, and I'm justified in what I do. Or you can be rebellious and evil in your heart and reject my word, and I can bring my chastisement upon you. And just as a potter who is making a pot can take and form that pot to his own liking and to his own way, he is the one who has the power and the talent and the ability to make that pot be, or that pot, that clay to be what he wants it to be. Chapter 18, where we read, it deals with the clay being molded, and certainly that's a picture of God's grace. And Israel did not deserve God's blessings, but yet God promised that he would send blessings their way. You and I do not deserve to be saved or have a life that glorifies God, but God in his grace extends his grace towards us, and he molds us and enables us to bring glory to our Father in heaven. And so the molding there of chapter 18 pictures for us the grace of God. Chapter 19, however, God is going to break the vessel. He breaks a completed vessel in the Valley of Hinnom. Hinnom means lamentation. It is really a picture of God's judgment, and we're going to look at that in a few moments as we get through the lesson. And if they would not obey and they would not adhere to what God had commanded them to do and respond to his molding and directing them, then they had nothing else to look forward to than the chastening hand and judgment of God upon them. So Isaiah, this is not something new for Israel to hear, because Isaiah had warned Israel about it. Isaiah really is a prophet that tells Israel, you need to get right with God because the judgment of God is coming. Jeremiah is a prophet that comes on the scene and says, it's too late. You're already under the judgment of God. And so in Isaiah 29 and verse 16 tells us, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say unto him that made it, you made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, you have no understanding? And the sad thing is, that's where the mindset of people is today. They don't believe that God created them, that God formed them. They don't believe that God has a right to say, thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt do this. And what right do we have to say to the potter that you're wrong? You don't understand about my life. You don't understand who I am, and you don't know how what is just and good for me to experience. And so Isaiah says, we have no right to say that. In Isaiah 45 and verse 9, says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potters strive with the potters of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. And Isaiah just is continuing that thought that we have no justification to basically stand before God and accuse God of not knowing what he's doing. In Isaiah chapter 64 in verse 8, it says, but now, O Lord, thou art our father, we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are the work of thy hands. And so certainly Isaiah and Jeremiah both address this issue of the justification of God making Israel and what he wanted Israel to be. And certainly there is justification in God molding you and molding me and making us what he desires of us to be. So the potter and the clay. First of all, we want to consider in our chapter 18, that God is the potter. He is the one who is forming the clay. And so personal, it's very personal. God is, it says in verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And so the matter of God working in your life is a personal relationship that he has with you. And God is not some abstract concept or some removed deity that's not actively involved in your life. God is literally personally involved. He is the potter, you are the clay. So there's a personal relationship based on the fact that he is our creator. And Isaiah 43 and verse 1, it says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And so the wonderful thing for the believer is to acknowledge the fact that God is personally involved in my life. God is not disconnected with you. And God has a plan and God has a purpose for you, and he made you exactly who you are. And because of that, I can rejoice in that I can trust the Lord, I can believe in my God, and I know that, wait a minute, his ways are good and his ways are right for me. And so because he's personally has created me, and he has created me in his image, and hallelujah, he's going beyond that. He has saved me for his glory. And so we have something to rejoice in when we think about the relationship of the potter to the clay. Not only is he personally our creator, but he is our father. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 15, says, for ye have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And irregardless of what goes on in the world that we are living in, the whole concept of young people struggling with identity of who they are and what they are is because of the dysfunction of the home in America. And listen, really, the literal degrading of the design that God established for the home to be fulfilled in marrying and having children and raising our children to know who God is. And when the father is disconnected and is not a part of that, it is a hard thing for children to understand the love of God in heaven. And Paul says this, remember that we're not adopted again to fear. We don't need to be afraid of the world in which we live. We don't have to be afraid of our background and our circumstances in life, because there is a God who has adopted us into his family. And because he has adopted us into his family, we cry, Abba, Father. So the potter has a very personal relationship with the object that he's forming. I mean, it's a hands-on relationship. And God has a hands-on relationship with us as our Heavenly Father. But not just that, but literally that personal relationship is based on the fact that he is the Almighty God. And Abraham, in Genesis chapter 17, God reminds Abraham about that personal relationship that he had with him in reference with being the Almighty God. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, why would God say that at that very moment in his life? Because God is about ready to tell him at his old age he's going to have a child. And for Abraham to believe that that miracle was going to take place, he would need to acknowledge that the God who is speaking to him is the Almighty God. And when we respond to God as the potter who is personally involved in our lives, we are aware that even though the clay on the wheel may look like a glob and looks like it has no value, no direction, no worth, it is the hands of the potter that personally form that glob of clay that makes it a miracle and makes it be able to form into what the potter desires for it to be. And I was looking at some things this afternoon as I was putting this together, as far as, you know, on YouTube with potters, how they form the whatever it is they're making. And I was looking at another thing of people that do woodwork and put the wood, great big chunks of wood, on a lathe, and how they grind that thing down and make it a beautiful leg. I remember years ago I was going to make a table. My wife's laughing because Pastor Hollywood was cracking up and laughing at me. And I had this square piece of oak wood, and I didn't have a lathe or anything. So I thought, my wife is cracking up. She's going to die back there. You'll be all right, hon. Don't worry. You'll be fine. And I didn't have a lathe or anything, so I just started trying to cut it with this saw and with that saw, and then I had some other tools. I was trying to chip it all. Well, it ended up just being a big chunk that came down into a wedge. It looked like an out-of-a-shape baseball bat or club that you would hit on somebody's head. And I said, hon, I can make four legs like this and make a table. And Pastor Hollywood was there. He was cracking up laughing. But it was my creation, amen. I was very offended by that, no. But I was looking at some of these things, and the talent and the ability that some people have to be able to form something out of a glob of clay and be able to take just a chunk of wood and make it into something beautiful. It's amazing. How much more amazing is it that God personally takes our lives in his hands and molds us into what he wants us to be? So God is the potter. We're the clay. So there's a personal relationship. According to Jeremiah chapter 18, there's a powerful relationship. It says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, and he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. And so notice, first of all, the powerful relationship that God has as the potter with the clay, which is you and me in his hands, is that he has the ability to guide our lives. He says the clay was marred, but the potter had the ability to take that marred clay and make it again to what he wanted it to be. And God can direct your life. God can guide you And oftentimes we think God is just removed from my personal life and he's not interested, but the reality is he can miraculously and powerfully direct your life. In the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And you say, how can he do that? He can do it because he's the potter. And he knows what is best for your life, and he knows how you can get the most out of life, and he knows how you can feel value and worth in life because of the fact he is the one who molds you in what he wants you to be. And so it's a powerful relationship. He guides our lives. But number two there, he just simply redirects our lives. And sometimes, like he says here, that the clay was marred, but the potter refashioned the clay to his liking. And so God can redirect our lives and do what he desires to do, his own bidding in our lives. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 20 through 24, tells us, "Nay, but old man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" You know, we would do well as believers to stop arguing with what God is doing and just get excited in accepting what God is doing. In verse 21, "Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with such long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not only of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." And so, literally, God is the one who has the ability to take and redirect our lives because he has the power, he has the strength, he has the ability to do so because he is the one who is in absolute authority over the lump of clay. And so God is the potter, personally involved in our life, powerfully working in our life. But then there's also purpose. In Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah chapter 18 in verse 4, the last part of the verse, "as seemed good to the potter to make it." And so God has a purpose of working in your life. First of all, he's sovereignly developing your life. And God is the one who knows tomorrow. He knows who you are, and God is sovereignly in control of guiding and directing your life. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Amen. And so God is directly, sovereignly involved in your life, because he has a purpose that he wants to accomplish through your life. And so don't be dissatisfied with what God's doing. Don't be dissatisfied with the fact that maybe God hasn't given you talents and abilities that someone else has. God has given you talents and abilities that he uniquely has designed to work through you. And you can accomplish those things because it rests on the power of God to be able to do that. So he has a purpose, sovereignly developing, but he's also eternally designing. "He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Yes, sir. And God has begun a good work in you. Never forget that. When you got saved, God started doing something in your life. And God has not stopped doing what he desires to do in your life. And so the eternal working of God to fulfill his purpose and his will. Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship. Amen. We are not our own workmanship. We're God's workmanship. And so we need to recognize God as the potter, personally, powerfully, purposefully, and then, letter D there is perpetual. And I just wanted to throw that in there to say this, that God can and will bring to pass his plan and purpose. And he can do that in spite of ourselves, amen. And so I'm thankful that I can rest in the assurance that the potter's okay. The potter's got it figured out. The potter knows what he's doing. Nobody else knows what he's doing. Many times I don't know what he's doing. But let me say this, God does know what he's doing, amen? And oftentimes through my Christian life, I've wondered and said, God, I don't understand what you're doing. Why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this to come to pass? And then God reveals through time and moving into my life, that he shows me this is why I allowed that to happen, because this is what I needed you to become over here. And so God does work. So the Father is the potter. Well, it's very easy to know that man is the clay, and we're the clay, and certainly he speaks here about in verse 6, he says, O house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter? So very quickly, he draws the analogy that the story he's giving to them in reference to the potter and the clay, that God is the one who is the potter, but the Israel is the clay that is on the wheel, and so you're the clay. So notice, first of all, that the personality of the clay, and we all have character traits that are completely different than someone else, and God can use those character traits that he has instilled in you and that he has created you with, and so your personality needs to be used for the glory of God. I remember years ago, and now Mrs. Malone told my wife, and you can't be a pastor's wife. You got to change your personality. And now you can't be outgoing and happy and all this stuff. And you got to be serious and, you know, all of this. And I told her, and I said, no way. No way. God has created us to be who we are. We have a personality that God has given us. I believe we have to respond to God. We have to respond to one another in a proper way. But I am not going to be somebody else. What you see is what you get. Amen. And you know, Dr. Malone used to say, be real. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't copy anyone else. Just be real. I always get tickled. You get the young boys coming out of Bible college, and they're oftentimes trying to preach like the preachers that preached when they were in Bible college. I know I did it myself. But wait a minute. You have to be your own person. God gave you the personality that you have. And, you know, I've been to other places, and when we've been on vacation or whatever, going to other churches, and the pastor, I always watch the pastor in the pulpit, and I watch how he interacts with people, and then I get thinking, man, maybe I need to do that. Maybe I need to try some little different technique, how I approach people and how I talk to people. And I try it, and it doesn't work. It just ain't me, you know? And you're stuck with me the way I am, amen? You ain't going to get anything else. God's going to have to do something with my personality that he wants to do, not me trying to change it, and not someone else trying to force me to be something that I'm not. And so the personality in Psalm 103 and verse 14 says, for he knoweth our framework, he remembereth that we are dust. God knows I'm worthless. God knows I'm nothing but a man that's been created out of the dust of the ground. God understands that. He knows your framework. He knows how much you can take emotionally. He knows what you can do physically. He knows intellectually where you're a deficit. Amen. God knows about all those things. Every one of us have a personality that God has so designed us with, and we just need to acknowledge, well, if I have a shortcoming here, I have frailty here, I need to be shored up in this area of my life. Who's going to do that? It's my God. It's the potter that's going to do that. I'm the clay. All I have to do is surrender to the potter to form me in what he wants me to be. Amen. Dr. George Gill said this, God remembers that we are dust, but man sometimes forgets it, and he gets stuck on himself. And when dust gets stuck on itself, it's mud. So Sometimes we just muddy ourselves up, you know? Don't get stuck on yourself. Realize this and remember this. As the clay, you are nothing apart from the potter's hand. Realize this, that if you, as the clay, there is nothing that you can make of yourself. It's got to be the potter who's going to make it. And when we get stuck on ourselves, all we do is muddy the water, so to speak. So there's personality of the clay. Notice there's the power of the clay, because the clay is going to be formed by the hands of the potter, and the clay is going to be able to be strengthened in and of itself as it is formed. There is power that takes place. But here's the problem when you think about the power of the clay. The shortcoming of that power is, first of all, number one, the clay has no rights. When the potter gets ready to make a vessel, he doesn't put the blob of clay on the wheel and say, okay, clay, now what do you feel that you want to be? Okay, clay, what rights do you feel that I want to instill in you? The clay has no rights. Everybody anymore walks around thinking they have their rights. The reality is you have a right to surrender yourself to the God of heaven who has saved you and is forming you and what he wants you to be. The clay has no rights. The clay has no wish. The clay doesn't sit there and say, well, look, I don't want to be a pot. Can I be a dish? No. You're going to be what the potter makes you to be. So you have no rights. You have no wish. The clay has no inherent ability. Blob on the wheel. Sit there and look at it. Okay, well, what do you want to be? Blob, just sitting there. Well, you said you had rights. Come on, do something about it. Just a blob, that's all it is. Then the master comes over. Amen. The potter comes over, and all of a sudden, he starts forming that blob of clay, and now you become something. But it's not on your ability, it's on the potter's ability. Not only that, but the clay is helpless. The clay can't do anything about anything. It's just a blob sitting on the wheel. And it is the potter who forms it and builds it and makes it something that is beautiful, something that is useful, something that will endure, something that will be a blessing to others. It has nothing to do with the clay. It has everything to do with the potter. So man is the clay. Notice when the clay is put on the wheel, and I put down here, wheel is life. And God, listen, molds us and forms us in what he wants us to be through life. There are life circumstances, life experiences that God uses to mold us into what he wants. Notice, first of all, the speed of the wheel on which the clay is placed is controlled by the potter. The clay has nothing to do with saying, I want to spin faster. Spin me faster. No, it's the potter who knows exactly how fast you need to spin. It's the potter who knows how to form the clay into what he wants based on the speed that he directs the wheel to go. And realize this, sometimes it's always interesting when you're younger, you always want things to move faster. I remember when I was a teenager, I couldn't wait till I got my license. I mean, that was it, man. 16, I could get a pickup because I was a farm boy, if you didn't know that. And all you had to have a pickup with a bale of hay in the back of it, and you could drive with a farmer's license at 16. Everybody else had to wait till they're 17. I started driving when I was 16. I couldn't wait till I turned 16 and start driving. And then all of a sudden, boom, I mean, I was out of high school, and I was in college, and I was in the Marine Corps, and I don't know where all this time went. And now, you know, I couldn't wait to get out of Bible college and get in the ministry. Now I look at it and say, where in the world has 35 years gone? and it's moving so fast. And what happens is we think we can regulate the speed of life, but it is God who is directing our life to be able to mold us and form us into what he wants us to be. So the speed is controlled by the potter. Notice, secondly, there are letter B, that the changes in the clay come as it's moving. And this is an amazing thought, because this, you can put that blob of clay on there, and if you don't move the clay at all, you don't try to restructure it, you don't start turning the wheel, the clay is not formed. It doesn't start to change until there is movement. And listen, your life won't become what God wants you to be until you're willing to start doing something, starting allowing the Lord to move you and mold you and guide you and direct you. That's why a very simple principle as far as being in church, people stay out of church. I watch them 20 years. I watch them for 20 years. And they don't go to church, they're not faithful to church. And you know where they are 20 years from now spiritually? Where they were 20 years ago. But people who say, well, I'm going to get involved in church and I'm going to be faithful to church and then I'm going to start doing things in church, all of a sudden God starts preparing and molding them and enabling them to blossom in what he wants them to be. Why? Because there's movement on the wheel. And when there's movement on the wheel, there's changes that'll take place. J. Vernon McGee states, life's big decisions are not made in the church sanctuary. I believe that they are made out in the workaday world. There is where the potter is working with the clay. It's hard for God to help me to understand and become more interactive with the unsaved and trying to reach the unsaved if I never go and talk to the unsaved. It is hard for me to be able to start living out biblical principles that God has revealed in his word in my life if all I'm going to do is sit at home. You got to get out. You got to do something. You got to interact. You're going to have to deal with issues in life because through those dealings with the issues in life, there's movement on the wheel, as it were, and God is showing you and enabling you and molding you on how to mature and grow in your relationship and become more and more like Christ. So the speed is controlled by the potter. The changes come as it is moving. Letter C there, the size of the wheel does not make the difference. It's not the size of the wheel. It's the potter who's working the clay on the wheel. And sometimes people think, well, if I lived longer, if I was taller, if I was had this opportunity or I've had this background. No, it's not the size of your life or your opportunities in life. It's the size of the God who wants to mold you in those situations. Amen. Letter D there, the difference on the wheel is its center. I tried to find a video of it. I couldn't find one what I wanted. But I thought it would be neat just to have a wheel up here and then put a blob of clay on the edge of the wheel and say, okay, I'm going to try to make me something here out of this. And I started up here. It's like your washer machine when it's on spin cycle and you got a big blanket in there and it's all wadded up in one spot. What enables the clay to be molded successfully by the master is that it's centered in the wheel. And when the wheel is turning, it is turning right under the master's hands, and it's made into what he wants it to be. It's not out of proportion because it's rocking back and forth. It's centered on Christ. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, amen, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you're always pursuing something other than Christ, and Christ is not the center of your life, you're always going to be out of kilter. You're always going to be shaking back and forth. You're always going to be knocking like the washer machine that's out of balance. And so the wheel is life. God uses the things in our life as we keep him in the center of our life to mold us into the image of the Son of God. Well, disobedience, according to verse 11 and 12, is the marring of the clay. We know Israel in the passage here is the clay. No, God is the potter. We understand that there's situations in life that is represented by the wheel that the clay is put on. But here's the problem when you get down to verse 11, Israel just said that they were going to do what they wanted to do. They were going to hold to their evil devices. They were not going to submit to the way of God. Now, they were going to walk and do everything that was wicked in the imagination of their evil heart. And so disobedience is what mars the clay. So first of all, letter A there, pliable clay can be molded. And we on Sunday in our Sunday school lesson, we were talking about Jonah, and Jonah needed to be pliable. The whale was pliable, but Jonah was not. And so Jonah was rebellious. He was disobedient to his God, his commands that he received from his God. And so you say, I want God to really do something special in my life. Then don't be disobedient and rebellious to what he says. Be pliable. God says, I want to change this area of your life. God impresses this needs to be removed. This relationship needs to be ended, or this relationship needs to be enhanced. Whatever it may be, just be pliable in the hand of the master. And so pliable clay can be molded. Letter B, marred clay can be remolded, but it's never the same as it was before. See, the potter has the ability to take and the clay that's been marred or disfigured, he can remake it. And yes, you can have a second chance, but you're never the same as you was before. And God worked on Jacob for 20 years. But I'm going to tell you, after 20 years, Jacob was not the man that he was before. God worked and gave Jonah a second chance. But just think how much Jonah could have had or what he could have experienced if he just surrendered when God first told him to go down to Nineveh. Peter fell, hallelujah, he got repented and got right with God, and God enabled him to rise up and be used. But I often wonder how that may have plagued his mind or his heart. I always often wonder how oftentimes people would bring up what he had done in denying the Lord, because people will throw in your face what you did wrong. Somewhere, somehow, they will always throw it in your face. And it doesn't matter what it is. And so not only do you need to be pliable so God can mold you, understanding when you're marred, yes, God can give you a second chance and God can remold you, but it'll never be the same. Realize this, that when Israel rejected the master and their lives, they were not what God wanted them to be. They lost time and beauty. And you think about what God could do in your life very quickly, but you refuse to respond to what God wants to do, your life may not be as beautiful as God could have made it, and it certainly is lost time. I often think, I didn't get saved until I was 27 years old. And I just often think those 27 years before I got saved, I wish I had those years. I wish I had gotten saved when I was a teenager. I wish somebody would have told me how to be saved when I was a teenager. I wish I could have surrendered to the Lord when I was a teenager and went to Bible college when I was just a young man coming out of high school. I could have had all those years serving the Lord. I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. I'm grateful that God is continuing to mold me in what he wants me to be. But I understand that when your life is marred, you do lose time and you do lose beauty. And so disobedience is the marring. Well, the trials, we're running out of time quick here. Trials are the furnaces that God uses. If you have someone who makes a pot, they're a potter, they're going to put that pot in the furnace to bake it, to make it hard, so to resist our damage. And so God allows us to go through difficulties in our life so that he can harden us up against the trials that we'll have to face. And so the trials are the furnace of the potter. Notice it's natural to go through that. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 12, says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." So don't think it's strange. It's not strange for the potter to take the clay after he formed it and what he wanted, wants it to be, but it's not strange to put it in the furnace. And so it's not strange when God's working your life for him to put you in the furnace, go through some trials, so he'll be able to put a glaze, a hardening on you, that you won't be marred as easily as you would as just a piece of clay. Not only is it natural, but it's identifiable. In verse 13, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." You can be identified with Christ through the suffering, through the trials that you go through. And so be identified with that. And it's always interesting, someone who is crafty, someone who's a painter, someone who is a potter or whatever, they have their technique, they have their stamp, they have their identity, if you will, on that piece they make. And may we have that identity of Christ on us. And it is honorable going through the trial, going through the fire. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified." So it's honorable to be identified and go through the natural trials in life, because God is shaping you, molding you, hardening you, preparing you, enabling you to be useful for his glory. Well, we'll just give you the fill-ins here. The breaking of the vessel is judgment. The amazing thing is in chapter 19 of Jeremiah, the vessels are broken. And so the vessel taken in chapter 19 and verse 1, it says, "Go to and get potter's earth bottle and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests." And so God will remove, literally he says that you're supposed to repent in Revelation, or he'll remove our candlestick, which is the church. And so the vessel is taken by the potter. The vessel is broken in chapter 19, verse 10 and 11, and the vessel can no longer be molded. And God told him, he said, "Now I've warned you, I've blessed you, I've created you, I formed you, and you have chosen that you're just going to reject me. Well, give me the vessel, I'll break the vessel, and you no longer is going to be able to be molded." And I don't want to get to that place in my life where God can no longer mold me in what he wants me to be. Be pliable to the master's hand. Be willing to let God create in you a longing, a desire, an experience of having a second chance as God continues to mold us. I don't want to ever get to a place where God cannot do something in my life. I always want him to be able to do something. I hope that was a blessing and a help to you. There's some Bible verses on there we didn't get a chance to read. Be sure to read them and go through a study. Realize this tonight, that everything you are is because of God, and everything that you can become is because of God. And he always has your best and your good on his heart, and he wants to work in your life.